Rose Batch, at first I was like, did you just say? I'm like, oh my God, that's hysterical.
They made out for like 3 minutes after the song was over. And like, we just kind of had to stand there, like, you know, watching. It was super uncomfortable.
It's like, ah, I got blacked at the mother church of country music, but it's all good.
The shuttle driver told us that on the property, there's an albino 8-point buck.
They were like, we should have got your stuff. We're so sorry, but we can't. We have to finish this interview. Like, if he goes home or goes back to his hotel room, he's just going to fall asleep.
What's up, Rose Batches? It is I, Edward. Hope everyone's doing well. Okay, here's how the episode tonight's going to go. I'm going to recap the episode that we watched, first couple minutes. The next half of the episode, as you saw, is a phenomenal interview with the band Temecula Road. They performed on Matt and James Piper's date one-on-one a little bit ago. Really great insight. They're good to know. I'll give you a little tease. Two very funny things that happened behind the scenes that we didn't see on TV that you guys will see. So stick around for that. Really great interview coming up in a couple minutes. If you came here looking for... I almost said if you came here looking for love. If you came here looking for my thoughts on the Chris Harrison situation, wrong episode. I already did that. It was the episode I put out a couple nights ago. It's called It's Time. So if you want all my thoughts on that, that's where you go. Check it out. It's our most recent episode before this. Thank you to everyone that DM'd and texted and emailed and everything. We'll see what happens. I'll stay close to it. By no means are we done. But if you want my thoughts on that, or you came to this episode thinking I would address it, wrong episode. That was last week. Lastly, before we get into it, I'm playing injured. All right? I have no voice. I don't know what happened to my voice. Probably from screaming, coaching baseball all weekend. Injury number one. Injury number two, I'm pretty sure I broke my back. If you guys could see the state that I am in right now, that's why there's no video for this episode. I'm like laying on a couch with a giant-ass teddy bear supporting my back. So I'm here for you guys. Podcast don't sleep, all right? Here we go. So I want to get into the macro stuff. Obviously, Heather Martin, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. I love Heather Martin. I think she's sweet. I think she looks beautiful, absolutely stunning. A lot of you people put on DM me when I asked, like, what's going on with Heather Martin? Like, did she always look this good? I think she's starting to come into her own a little bit. So, did I buy for a second that she wasn't put up to it? No, that's the problem with this show. Like, we knew how set up this was. You know what I mean? Like, the minivan thing, everything. Oh, she put on her Instagram when she went to the car rental place and asked for a car, all they had was a minivan. So she just took it, which I thought was very funny. Good inside info. But, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. And if I was the girls, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Now, the main issue of the night, honestly, of the 2-hour episode, like, what is up with the Mean Girls vibe? Like, I get it, okay? I'm going to sympathize with the girls for a second. You're in a stressful environment. You're excommunicated. It's a pressure cooking. The show is designed to break you down. I understand that. However, like, what the hell's the deal? Like, what? Don't act that way, and don't act bitchy and catty towards Heather Martin. Like, who? Like when Piper was freaking out, like, and all the other girls, Jasenia, everyone was tag teaming Heather Martin. That just really hit me the wrong way. Like, it really bothered me. As if the show doesn't have enough shit going on right now, they go and pull this with the Mean Girl vibe? Like, why? I'm genuinely trying to understand why the girls thought being mean in that situation. Did that rub anyone else the wrong way? It can't just be me. Like, it wasn't even funny. I guess that's a long-winded way. It was 30 seconds. I guess it just wasn't funny. Okay, well, the Mean Girls thing wasn't funny. You got rid of the quote Mean Girls. And then you go around and you talk shit to Heather Martin, break down the poor girl. So I didn't like that. So then, you know, he sends her home, which is fine. Rose ceremony goes on. And then the other two girls that are sent home are Chelsea and Serena C. Chelsea, justice for her, she is extremely beautiful. I think we could have used more airtime with her. So I feel bad she didn't get more airtime. Serena C is an interesting cat. I was listening to our interview with Franco the other day. Go back and listen to that. Great episode. Franco LaCosta, the photographer. And I was thinking, he called her, like, he was obviously complimenting her and saying she was beautiful, but he called her a fierce woman. Is fierce a compliment? Like, I know what he meant, but I'm just saying, if I went up to a girl, I was like, yo, you fierce. You fierce, girl. You fierce. Oh, hey, do you know Serena? Oh, yes, very fierce. Really sweet girl. Very fierce. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird adjective to describe someone. So justice for Chelsea and Serena P. We'll see what happens with you guys. All right, Serena P one-on-one date. Decent koala move. Not amazing. Not bad. Not great. Just, like, very average. And you know what? That's the vibes I'm getting from Serena P right now. Like, the tantric yoga date. All right, first of all, what does the... Is tantric sex? Like, isn't that sex positions? Tantric something? Kuma Sutra? Some shit like that? What was this yoga created to, like, be lustful? One. Two, it was clear as day. She told casting or producers that, like, this type of thing and public display of affection, PDA, is, like, way outside her comfort zone. So the fact that she did this date is not by mistakes, guys. Like, read into the goddamn show, you know what I mean? There's a reason this weird yoga lady, God bless her, with the weird tats, not judging, just saying what I think, and Serena P were put on this date. Now, the flip side, let's talk about Big Boner Matt. I mean, this guy was ready to go. I mean, not to be crude, but he was loving it. And I get it. And also, Serena P, like, clearly has done regular yoga before because she was handling some of that shit like a champ. Like, all the downward dog and the bending. Normal people that don't do yoga can't just, like, bend like that. And Matt's big, muscly Matt, 6'5" Matt. That's a little hint for the Temecula Road interview. We talk about his height. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Like, too much, to be honest. Like, we tried to force this on the girl and she wasn't into it. Now, I was convinced she was going home. I was really convinced she was going home. I think it also shows you just how smitten Matt is that he did give her a rose and that she is getting a quote-unquote hometown date. So, what did you think of the tantric yoga date? Has anyone done tantric yoga? Like, is that like a thing you guys do as couples? Like, hey, babe, what are you doing tonight? Oh, tantric yoga. All right, see ya. I have a phenomenal yoga story. I'll tell it. Long story short, when I was living in Chicago, I did yoga at, like, my gym, and we were trying to do handstands. This sweet yoga instructor, nice middle-aged lady, like, really into yoga. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, one of those people that eat, lives, and breathes yoga. Like, a little bit out of my comfort zone, but I bought into it. Anyway, we're trying to do handstands, and she's like, all right, go ahead and kick up. And I was like, no, I'm not going to kick up. She's like, no, trust me, trust me. So there I am, Eddie, trying to do a handstand. I flip my heels into the air, do a handstand, kick this lady right in the face. Her glasses fall off. It was a whole freaking scene. She falls to the ground. I fall to the ground. And all because she forced me to do the goddamn handstand. Guess what, guys? Never went back to yoga again. That poor lady. I hope she's doing good. That if you taught, I don't even know what the gym was called, but I'm thinking of you, lady. All right, this is off the rails. I'm in so much pain. All right, let's get on with it. All right. The next chunk of our podcast I want to spend a lot of time on, the group date. Now, there's a ton of controversy going on about the daytime of the group date. We clearly didn't see it. It was clearly edited out. If you guys noticed, there was just a nighttime group date. What happened? Now, in my opinion, I think probably not enough action happened on the daytime date, or it was boring, or storylines weren't there. That's the only reason why I think they didn't put the daytime date in the episode. And I, like, didn't think it was a big deal, to be honest. Like, they cut shit all the time. They fly people out. They fly JoJo out. Raven and Adam were flown out, like, and just cut interviews, okay? Then I saw online a really good point, which I want to talk about. Given everything going on in Bachelor Nation right now, okay, they opted to give Heather Martin's bullshit 30 minutes of airtime this week, unproductive airtime, but then robbed us of some of the stories that were probably discussed on that daytime group date, like Bree. Bree, later in the night, told us about how she resigned from her job, and we got like 3 minutes of that. So this is going to be a hard pill to swallow, guys. Clearly, this show is going in a direction, And it's very evident this season that, like, the 30 minutes of quote-unquote drama with Heather Martin was more important from an entertainment standpoint than the 2 minutes of Brie having a life-altering and incredible conversation. Okay? That is just the fact. There's no other explanation. The powers that be found Heather Martin's bullshit more entertaining than the productive Brie conversation. End of sentence, period. Okay? That's where we're going. You can see, like, I don't really know who Matt is vibing with that much. Like, you know, but you don't know. I don't know who he's madly in love with. I don't know who he's going to pick. You're telling me he's going to get engaged in, like, 4 episodes? So they clearly made a decision, entertainment, and we saw it with Queen Victoria. So that's what I have to say about that. The Brie telling Matt she resigned her job, it's rumored, everyone was looking it up, it's rumored she worked for Facebook. So, yeah, dude, could you imagine quitting Facebook to come in the middle of nowhere and, like, talk to Matt James, plus all her background with her family job? But also, like, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Back in the day, OG Bachelor, like, everyone quit their job, right? Like, no one was put on hiatus or took vacation. Like, everyone quit their job. I think this was the first time that we, like, saw someone tell the lead, hey, I quit my job for you. Maybe not. I think that's wrong. But you know what I'm saying. I think it was the first time it was made a big deal. And I want to know, what was, like, written into her contract? How did she get in communication with her job? It was clearly when she was casted, clearly, like, a big deal. All right, so other parts of this group night time date. R.I.P. Abigail. Abigail goes home. I was pretty upset. And it was, like, a weird... The girls that got sent home this episode, it was weird. Like, Abigail getting sent home was just, like, we didn't get a build-up. She was a front-runner. I've been saying for weeks, Brie and Abigail, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see her maybe eventually. Vibrator Katie put out a cryptic tweet saying, see you never. So if there's rumors that she was the Bachelorette and she's saying that, is Abigail a front runner now? Justice is needed for Abigail. All right, and then Rachel. I don't know. Can we talk about Rachel? How are we supposed to talk about Rachel on the show? Like, do we act like nothing happened, or do we act like what I talked about last episode? The only thing I'm going to say about Rachel is the sniffling. Like, what the F was the sniffling? I understand. I have colds all the time. I've been on this podcast with colds. But this every 5 seconds, that drove me up a wall. Guys, I love you. I cannot be the only one that was so bothered by the sniffling. Rosebud's podcast on Instagram if you were baffled by it. All right, so then we get a lovely performance by Aloe Black, I believe is his name. He performed for Rachel and Matt. Absolutely beautiful voice. I needed more of him, though. He put his clip on Twitter, so if you want to see the full performance, follow him on Twitter. Also, fun fact about him, he was the mushroom on season 4 of The Masked Singer, and he came in 2nd place. You know, I really want to get into that show. I was saying this to my friend. I really want to get into The Masked Singer, but I would need spoilers for that. Like, I can't go every week not knowing who the goddamn bumblebee is or the butterfly or the mushroom. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or I would need someone at the end of the episode, like, released. Or spoilers. Also, is The Masked Dancer any good? Let me know. So that was Aloe Black. I mean, I loved him. I just wanted more from him. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal voice. All right, Kit and Caboodle, bye-bye, Kit. Another weird ejection. To me, and I was watching this with my mom last night, it sounded like my mom said that the way it was presented, like, Kit knew she was probably going to get eliminated and didn't want to get that humiliation, so she went and self-eliminated. But, like, it was weird, and the words she was saying was weird, and it was edited weird, and there was a lot of Frankenbiting. So, that leads me to believe she might come back, but then there's hometowns. I don't know. It was just a weird exit, and it didn't match what she was saying at the beginning of the day. Remember in the couple minutes before, she was saying, I'm falling in love with you, and then she goes to his room and is like, peace out, A-Town down? I don't know. She's great. Love her. Incredible memes out there, guys, on Kit, so good work on all of that. I think she'll be around again. We'll see. All right, then finally, Josenia's one-on-one date. First of all, no koala move. Immediately, if you have a one-on-one date and you do not do a koala move, you should be sent home immediately. End of question. Immediately. That should be a rule written in. One-on-one date, koala move. If not, you're gone. Bye, girl. So that was observation number one. Observation number two, who the hell's Tony Angelo, professional drifter? Okay? When I think of like a professional drifter, I think of like some like Castaway or someone that moves to Key West and just drifts away and like becomes a guitar player and wears no shoes and like drifts into the sunset and does a ton of drugs. Not like Tokyo Drift Vin Diesel shit, but that's what Tony Angelo was. And if he's a professional, my voice is going. If he's a Jesus Christ, if he is the professional, I'm not going to make it, guys. If he is the professional drifter, why was he not in the car? Did you guys notice how unsafe that was? That was my first thought. Tony Baloney Angelo, professional drifter, got the hell out of the car and let Matt and Josenia just race around doing donuts in the parking lot. I was like, what the hell is this? That seemed incredibly unsafe. I'd rather jump out of an airplane and go skydiving than drifter with fake Tony Baloney Angelo. That was banana land. Another thing that was banana land, when Matt lusted this girl. She's beautiful. I get it. Matt lusted this girl so much. The way he picked her up and put her on that car, he like slammed her down and they had a steamy makeout session. And then for him to send her ass home at night, what kind of guy does that? He was probably like, all right, well, I'm going to send you home. I might as well get a nice makeout session. I almost said, do you blame him? But does that make me a bad guy? I don't know. The point of the show, he's dating 30 women. I don't freaking know, guys. And then when he sent her home at night, guys, I'm sure there's videos on TikTok. You could just tell. When she said, I'm falling in love with you, and he says, thank you for sharing that. I mean, imagine telling someone that you're falling in love with them, and their response is, thank you for sharing that. At that point, I would say, oh, fuck me, right? I'll get up and leave. I literally, if I was Josenia, I'd be like, shit, my bad. See you later. But then, Callie House, shout out that episode. He picked up the rose, put it in her face, and was like, nah, girl, bye. Send you home. Stop picking up the rose. That's mean. That's the meanest thing you did, Matt. Honestly, it was. Not unsafely drifting. Picking up the rose and sending her home was banana land. All right, then we got the rose ceremony. So Brie and Michelle stay around. I don't think any shocks there. I love Michelle. Excited to get the push-ups. Incredible. Piper was pissed that she got sent home. Kit got sent home. Josenia got sent home. So our final four, Michelle, Brie, Rachel, and Serena P. So we'll see what hometowns bring. I'm really going to miss, like, actual hometowns. Like, the fact, like, we saw La Quinta, the people come there. I'm going to miss that. Looks like they go skydiving next week, and Michelle doing the push-ups was hilarious. I'm not going to get into segments because I really want to get into the interview because it's really great with Temecula Road. But I do want to talk about the ratings because I did say on my Chris Harrison episode I thought ratings would go up. Ratings did not go up. They kind of stayed the same, around 5.2 million, so a little bit of the same. We'll see what happens moving forward. I have one major best-dressed, worst-dressed thing because I absolutely have to talk about it. I have a good and a bad. Let's start with the good. Piper's rose ceremony dress later in the episode, phenomenal, gorgeous, stunning, beautiful, elegant, sexy, all the words, loved it. On the opposite end, something I did not like at all and thought was embarrassing was Matt James' group date leather jacket turtleneck look. I mean, what the hell is this turtleneck thing? He looks like a character in a movie or that he's going to rob a bank or that he's the bad guy in a sitcom. I don't understand it. I do not. He's such a good-looking dude. Jacked, athletic, beautiful, chiseled, great personality. And he does this bullshit. Maybe he's just having fun. Who am I to judge? Whatever. All right, bitches. Rate, review, subscribe. Rosebuds Podcast on Instagram. Great interview coming up right now with Temecula Road. I absolutely love them. I'm not going to spoil it. Some great insight. I need to get to bed because I have an injured back and I have no voice. And in order for me to get to bed, I'm going to need some good-ass sheets. And that's where my friends at Eucalyptus Home come into play. You guys know the official sheet of Eddie Reavert. They make insanely soft sheets from 100% organic eucalyptus fiber that are earth-friendly. They're the perfect balance of soft, cooling, and gentle on the skin and are perfect for that great night of sleep. Eucalypso is designed for hot sleepers, people with sensitive, breakout, and prone skin, and people who care about their sleep. You guys know I'm a hot sleeper, all right? I need my Eucalypso sheets. They are 2 times more softer, 3 times more breathable, 10 times more sustainable. They're just the softest goddamn sheets. That's not even on the script. This is just Eddie talking. Get your goddamn Eucalypso sheets. It will change the way you sleep. My life has been better because of it, and it's dermatology recommended. So I love you betches so much that I got a deal for you. For 10% off plus free shipping on your entire purchase, go to eucalypsohome.com and use promo code ROSEBUD. That's for 10% off free shipping. eucalypsohome.com. Code ROSEBUD, all one word. 10% off, eucalypsohome.com. Link is in the show notes. All right, betches, Temecula Road right now. All right, Rose Betches, what's up? What's going on? How the hell are you? All right, joining the podcast today, I told you guys, we're going to talk to our people that are making the season, and I've always wanted to talk to the bands that are performing on the show. I need to know everything. I need to know what goes into it. I need to know, especially in a quarantine season. So we got linked up with these beauties, Temecula Road, coming at us hot from all over the country, but they're with us today. They perform their lovely, absolute jam, no bullshit, absolute jam, Everything I Love, on the Matt James and Piper date at the beautiful Nemacolin. We have Emma and Maddie, who are sisters, and longtime friend Dawson. Temecula Road, guys, how the hell are you? What's going on? Welcome to Rosebuds.
Hey,
dude,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, man. Also, you said, what up, Rose Batches? That just made my whole day. That just made my entire day. Rose Batch, at first I was like, did you just say? I'm like, oh my God, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
We're doing good, man. Thanks for having us.
So we have Maddie, Emma, and Dawson. All right, guys. This was a big deal for you guys, I feel like. I've been seeing the Instagram stuff. You guys are a hot young Nashville band. This, I am shocked to know that this was like your first national television performance. So kind of let's back it up. I want to know what went into and what goes into like performing on The Bachelor like this. Do you go after them? Do they go after you? Was this a dream? Maddie, I know you're a fan of the show. How did this whole thing get started up?
Yeah, so they reached out to us, and when we got the email, I was freaking out because I do love the show so much. And then we found out it was Matt as The Bachelor, and I was like, oh my gosh, because I've heard like he wasn't a part of The Bachelor franchise before he was The Bachelor, which I thought was really cool. And so when we found out, I was so excited. But when we got there, we had to quarantine for about 5 days in our own hotel rooms separately. Luckily, Emma and I were right across the hall from each other, so we could have some sort of contact once a day or something.
Lovely best friend was put way down the hall. So there was no, I couldn't even scream and hit, like, we just had to FaceTime a lot. And it was cool. It was like a, we had to quarantine it. Each day got better because every test that would come back negative, you could like slowly do more and more. So the first day was like, you cannot leave your room. Like if you leave, we're sending you guys home. So it's like, got to stay in. And the next day would be like, you can leave, but you have to go right outside and you can stay outside, but you can't go into any of the facilities, no gyms, no whatever. And it was kind of cold and rainy. It was like maybe 45 and rainy. So it wasn't like super good. I went on a run, but it wasn't like ideal conditions. And then the third day we could finally like go places, but you just have, if inside, you got to wear a mask and stuff. So they had tons of restrictions like that. But we actually had a really fun time quarantining. When like we first got there, we were a little nervous about it, like just if we would be bored or we would, you know, be wanting to punch the walls and stuck in the room all the time. But they had this incredible hotel. The Chateau? The Chateau? The Chateau was amazing, which is the hotel we stayed at, which if you guys are, you know, watchers of the show, it's the one. It's where they do the rose ceremony. It looks like the big castle, like with the red carpet going down. So we got to stay in that one. And it was awesome. I mean, there was like butlers on our hall. We could call, you know, any time of the night and they make us drink or bring us food or run you a bath. It was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, to be quarantined in that situation sounds like you made the most of it. I think there's worse places to be having to quarantine, and then you get to perform on national TV. So then what goes into, like, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it, but, like, the song. So Everything I Love, obviously it makes sense. The timing when you release it, all very smart. You have some great team around you that made this whole thing happen, so I support it. But, like, did you know you were going to play that song? Did you know the song was going to come out around the same time the episode was going to air? Like, how does that all, like, how do you pick the song? Do they tell you? Do you have all the creative availability? How does that go into it?
So the weirdest thing was that we've had the song on hold for about 3 years, and there was no reason for us not releasing it. We just kind of didn't. And we've always loved it. It's been in our set for 3 years. And when The Bachelor reached out to us, we just kind of sent them a batch of our songs. And they were like, that's the one, Everything I Love. You're going to perform that one. And we were like, perfect. Well, I guess that means we should. And the funniest part was we already had it recorded and everything. So we just had to go through a mixing process. And then we knew it was going to be released around Valentine's Day. So yeah, our team scheduled the whole, you know, process of when we're going to release it and photo shoot and stuff like that. So
yeah. And it's great because we just signed with Warner Nashville about November. It was a funny story. It was in October when we filmed at The Bachelor. It was the same time. We have like stories and stuff on our phones of us popping champagne, like, you know, the night of the signing. So we were at that hotel.
It was the first day we were allowed to like see each other from our quarantine too. So it worked out really, it was.
Yeah. Day before it would have been like
celebrating separately.
You know. Hey guys, miss y'all, congrats. But we had a great time doing that. And so, you know, a huge blessing. But this was the first big thing that happened since signing with them. So obviously like it coming out, you know, and so it was really, really cool, like just to be able to have the team work together and like Emma said, get that photo shoot going. It's our favorite album art we've ever done. It's our favorite like photo that we've ever taken. You know, we've got a bunch of other looks from that photo shoot too, which are awesome. And so it's just been really cool to see them come together. And you know, you're right. We have an incredible team, and it's great to have them. And yeah, I mean, we wanted to release it around there just because we knew that it would benefit from it, which it has. I mean, The Bachelor system is incredible, and like everybody's been super supportive. We've got thousands of new fans, people, you know, hitting us up saying that they didn't normally listen to our music before, they never heard of us, but after watching The Bachelor, they're like lifelong fans, they're hooked, and you know, they're streaming the song, which, you know, we couldn't be more thankful for. So it's been a really, really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that you hit the nail on the head. I think like this show is obviously, we hate watch it, we love watch it, Maddie. I'm sure me and you can talk all about it, but people freaking love this show, right? So the other night, even still in quarantine, TV habit watching is weird. 5.5 million people still watched you sing that song the other night, which is incredible. And to see like the direct impact on that for you guys being up and coming, I'm all about it. My question, and I know like jack shit about this stuff. How the hell do you sit on a jam like that for 3 years? That, I mean, the song is just like perfect. Like, it's such a good song.
Thank you. I was just gonna say, like, it's such a God thing, you know, like there was no reason for us to hold it for so long. Honestly, there's no reason. We had it mastered and everything. We just kind of decided like, we're gonna hold on to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was times throughout our career, like what after getting the song, cause we didn't write it, but it was pitched to us and it was like, wow, this is awesome. And we recorded it really soon after. And then we ended up actually re-recording about a year ago because it had been 2 years. So we were like, well, you know, it's time to put our vocal. We've only gotten better. We're growing up, we're getting older, we sound better. So let's re-record some vocals. And so we've had it just around, you know, and like there were certain times where we were like, could it go out here? Like, could it go out now? Like, yeah, it could, but it just wasn't like the right time, you know? And then when The Bachelor, when the opportunity came, it was like, kind of presented itself as like, yeah, this is absolutely the right time for us to release this song. And sure enough, it's been great. It's our favorite song we've released. We're really, really proud of how it came out. Yeah, it's just exciting to have it out into the world because it's been burning a hole in our pockets for a long time. But we appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Dawson, you made a good point. Like, I think I've said this before, all things in life happen for a reason. I firmly believe that. There's a reason you held on to that song. There's a reason The Bachelor came. There's a reason it was around Valentine's Day. I mean, like, it was all there, so I commend you on that. Back to the show, Matt James. Did you meet him at all? Is he as good looking in person as he is on TV? Dawson, feel free to answer that as well. But what was like Matt James and Piper in that situation like?
Hell yeah, he's as good looking. He's even better looking. Well, he's 6'5". I think a lot of times they don't realize how tall they are because all the girls are always wearing heels. So he doesn't look like that much taller than them. He is that much taller than them. I mean, if they didn't have heels on, he would tower all of them, which is crazy. And he's a super nice guy. He's also from Raleigh, North Carolina, which is where I was born. So like, we both have 919 area codes, which is dope.
Yeah, he was so nice and like so genuine. We loved him.
Like, did you get to hang out afterwards, before? Like, what was the whole like, or is it just, hey, show up, play your song, get the hell out?
We showed up and played the song two times for them. And then after the performance, we got to hang out with them for about 10 minutes. But the whole production team was there too. So it was just kind of like, you know, little chit chat. And we didn't really get to talk to them for a while. But they're both so nice. And Piper was very shy. Yeah. I don't know if she seems that way on the show, but she was so shy in person.
Yeah. Both like a gorgeous couple. When they walked in, you're just kind of like, wow, like they're just good looking together. They look really good. And you could see the chemistry from the episode too. At least I felt it. And of course we saw it in the room, you know, but even more so on TV, I was like, yeah, they really were, you know, when we were able to not focus on like the performance and what we were singing, and if we were doing a good job, we were able to just kind of watch from the outside perspective. They really were enjoying it, it seemed like. So it was kind of cool just to be able to play. You know, that was their first concert date together. So, you know, if she wins it and they end up together, I mean, we'll be their first concert. And he came in like, it was a surprise for her. So we didn't meet any of the contestants because we had to stay super secretive. And then of course, because of COVID, you know, they're like really strict about it.
And Matt didn't know until like 5 minutes before it happened, just because he had to know like where to stand. And so, but it was a surprise for him too.
Yeah. And so he came in and like thanked us for being there. He's like, I know, which was so crazy because we're standing up on stage being like, no, thank you for like, he had to sign off on it, like that we were going to play eventually. So he knew that we were going to do it at some point. So we were like, no, like you were a part of that picking process. Like, thank you. And he was like, nah, like, thank you guys. Like, I know what it takes. You had to go through a bunch of COVID tests and a bunch of quarantine. I'm like, dude, we had butlers, man. Like, no, thank you. Seriously. But it just shows how cool of a person he is and how grateful he is. And I mean, he genuinely seems like a really good dude. And he was super appreciative, extremely nice, like just kind of a, he just kind of like loves life. And they said, this was funny. They told us that they have to interview him. We didn't end filming until like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so, but then they did like an interview with him after. And they're like, sorry. And our stuff was still on stage. So we had to like kind of, we left the room just so they could like interview him. And then they were like, we should have got your stuff. We're so sorry, but we can't. We have to finish this interview. Like if he goes home or goes back to his hotel room, he's just going to fall asleep. And I just thought it was so pure. I'm like, that's really funny that this guy is like going to be on national television. He's going to be super worldwide famous, is now just going to like, you know, it was super funny. Like he's just a good dude. You know, like he's, even though it's obviously television, like he seems like a great dude.
Yeah, and I think that's coming across now. I even watched him last night. He was on that Andy Cohen show on Bravo, and like they had to stop interrupting. They had to like pause and interrupting because Matt James was just laughing so much, and I guess they're not used to like the guests like always like laughing at the jokes, and like Andy Cohen was taken aback. And you can just tell he's like, he really is like a normal dude, and I think that's what, yeah. Even like in the beginning of the season, they were like, all right, like Maddie, you said it. He's not from the Bachelor world. He's not used to being on TV, and he's thrown into being the lead. Like usually you warm up, you're on the show, you're a contestant, and then you go to Paradise and then you're a lead. He was just thrown right into it. But so Emma, I think you said you had to play it twice. I think that's pretty good because I've heard like people have to play the same song like 7 times. Like I literally think when Hunter Hayes was on Peter's season, they said he sang that song like 5 times. So did you know you would have to do it definitely more than once, or were you good with the 2 takes? How did that go down?
So we actually did it 2 times before Matt and Piper came into the room just to capture the audio. And then when they came into the room, we did it once. We weren't expecting to do it again. And the production team just kind of cued us. They just did this. We were like, okay, I guess that means we'll do it again. So yeah, we had no idea. We just thought we were going to perform it 1 time, but it was so awkward. As soon as we got done performing the second time, they were probably 5 or 6 feet in front of us. And they made out for like 3 minutes after the song was over. And like, we just kind of had to stand there, like, you know, watching. It was super uncomfortable, but you could tell the moment was pure.
Yeah.
All right, wait.
You just got to get like, it makes sense. Go ahead.
Wait, so I understand making out while you guys are playing, and I'm not, you know, you guys have performed all over. I'm sure you've seen people make out while playing, but they were like, you weren't singing and they were just making out. And you're like,
Oh, yeah, it was completely silent.
Yeah, it was.
And oh. Yes, we performed.
No.
We performed while people are making out, but we haven't performed to just two people making out.
And everyone's dead silent because you got to capture all the moments. Sure. So it was cool. You don't see us. The cameras weren't on us in that moment. But if you were in that room of fly on the wall, at least I know for me, I literally just was like going like this.
Yeah.
Just like, and I couldn't help but smile because we had just got done. We crushed it. We felt really good about it. And we were happy for them. You know, they seemed like they're having a great time, but it was like weird. It was like, you know, and they just kept going, but you got to get the right shots and stuff. We get that. And they told us in the beginning, like, it's going to be weird. Like, just know. And we were like, well, you know, we perform for like labels and rooms and stuff where there's, you know, there's just like two people and they're just kind of giving me the stare down or whatever, but never like in this setting with like a couple, you know, like dancing and kissing and like being intimate, you know, and doing all that stuff. And so it was definitely weird. We were like, well, we got it. And we did, but they warned us and we were like, all right. And sure enough, it was definitely a new situation for us.
I don't know what I would do. I think when you're performing, I know it's only two people, but when you're like something to distract you, like you're focused on you guys singing and performing. But when you're just standing there and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, get me the, like, I would have been like, get me the hell out of here right now. Like if they're just doing that. But that's really funny. I didn't know that. So you played it twice. It seems like they had a good time. And then when do you guys like leave? Like, do you chill at the Nemacolin with your butler for the next 7 days? Or do you guys kind of have to get out of there?
We left that next morning. So we got like 2 hours of sleep and then we left.
Yeah.
So that night we got done performing at 3 and we were all on cloud 9. So we went back to the room, changed and stuff. And then Dawson and I ended up sitting outside until like 5 in the morning, just talking about everything that happened. And then Maddie flew out of Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's Pittsburgh.
She flew out of Pittsburgh that next day. So we had to drive her to the airport. And then Dawson and I drove back to Nashville that day. And it was about a 10-hour drive. So it was a really quick turnaround.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, with all the setup and stuff, we only had, the time that we worked was the sound check to the end performance when they got all the footage. And that was maybe about 5 hours of like just being there and like, you know, but it was crazy because it was 5 days of prep for that 5 hours just because of the whole COVID thing. Yeah. But it was really cool. Like it would have been a lot less fun, in my opinion, if we went up there for like, got there one night, next day was soundcheck, next day was show, and then we left. Like, yeah. I'm glad we got to spend some time there. It was really cool getting to know some of the producers of the show and just that they're such a tightly run ship. And we thought going into it, you know, because there's so many cameras, they're trying to capture everybody all the time. There's audio guys, they got to light up all these areas. We figured it would be kind of chaotic, but it's complete opposite. They are on it. Like, it is so cool to watch. And they were so kind. They were the kindest people we worked with. They were so accommodating. They would text us on our off days being like, you know, you guys doing okay? Like, everybody good? Like, even when we're doing nothing, they're just like, you guys bored? Like, you need something to do? You need food? Whatever. They were so cool about that too. So yeah, it was one of the coolest experiences. One of the coolest things we've ever done.
That's awesome. That's great. And you guys are enjoying it too. Now, how hard was it? Like, you guys talking till 5 a.m., you're on that high. Like, you just, like, I get it. I understand exactly what you're talking about. Now, how hard was it keeping your mouth shut until, like, this past week?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to tell anybody until it was announced.
Yeah.
And so, like, literally nobody knew except for, like, family. And it was really hard. And then by the time it came, like, we were, like, it was in October. Like, it's crazy, like, how long ago it happened. It was like, oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girls will tell you, I definitely had the hardest time with it, but we did good. Like, we had a ton of friends hit us up. And, like, we had no idea this was even happening. Like, oh, my gosh. And which was kind of cool. Like, I don't know if y'all felt the same way, but I almost kind of enjoyed the people that texted us more that were like, dude, I had no idea. I'm not big on social media. I didn't see you guys post. I had no idea this was coming. I'm just watching with my girlfriend. And like, next thing you know, you guys are on TV. It just blew me away. I had a ton of friends that didn't realize that we were even playing. And then those doors open and then there we are and with our name. And so it was just kind of crazy, but it was cool. I wouldn't have wanted to announce it any sooner. I think a week was perfect.
And I mean, oh my God, guys, the video of you all watching it was so pure, so genuine. And I think that is what, like, America wants to see right now. Because listen, like, yeah, they could have got, like, you know, an AAA lister for that moment. But no, they went ahead, they got a people that are up and coming, that are going to be rock stars, a song that makes such perfect sense. And I think that, like, seeing how much you are capturing the moment was a big part for America. Again, 5 million people watched the show. So it's good for you guys. And I think people need to say, hey, the America dream is still alive. These kids are out here grinding their ass off doing it. And they got a good opportunity and they seized it. So I think that did resonate with people. And if you're seeing downloads and streams and Instagram follows and all that engagement, it's clearly paying off.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate that. We're grateful, man. It was a great opportunity. And, you know, we were blessed to be able to go up there and do that. And being fans of the show, I mean, Emma and I watched too. We are not as big as Maddie, as big a fan of Matt as Maddie.
Well,
but
my top tier Bachelor fan.
Oh yeah, but they were the ones that got me into the show. The first season, I watched every episode start to finish, was Ben Higgins' season. And I mean, I was hooked. They weren't making me do it. I was there every Tuesday doing it, and I had a great time. And so, you know, it was just really cool to be able to, like, be a part of it. Like, when we got there, they were doing a rose ceremony. We got there at like 10 o'clock at night and pulled up to the hotel we stayed at, at the Chateau. And then they were like, guys, get out of the car. Like, put your stuff on the thing. We got on the bellhop. We got to go. Someone's about to storm out of here and we got to film it. Like, you guys need to get out of here. And we're like, oh shoot. So we like pulled up, threw our stuff on, went up to the hotel. We were like, we've been watching this show for years. And this is like, we're about to be in the middle of this. It was such a cool feeling.
That is sweet. All right, I have to ask this question because our Rose Betches would hate me if I didn't. So I have been very critical of, in the past, personally, I've taken it personal when they have a musician on or an artist on or a comedian on, and they're like, oh my God, it's X, Y, and Z. Because what pissed me off is years ago, the comedian Billy Eichner was on, and I love Billy Eichner. I've loved him forever. He has that show, Billy on the Street. But I knew the way those girls were reacting, they had no freaking clue who Billy Eichner was. And I was like, oh my God, like, I would have been freaking out. So when Matt James said, like, oh, it's Temecula Road, do you guys think he was pumped for you guys? He clearly knew about you guys. Was he big fans? Or do you think he was like, oh, this band, they have a cool song? What do you think went down with that?
That's a good question.
I don't know if they showed Matt our music, they as in the production team, or if he was a genuine fan, because he definitely told us that he loves our music and he listens to it all the time. So I don't know. That's a very interesting question.
I think that he probably knew about he obviously had listened to our stuff before. I don't know if he was introduced to us by the production team. I think that would probably be my guess. But yeah, I mean, he was super grateful and it seemed like he was a genuine fan. He really is a genuine guy. I don't think he would have been like gassing us up, you know, if he didn't actually like our music. He's like, no, I love the song. I was, you know, checking out some of the other stuff too, and it's really great. So just cool to have him as a fan.
Anything else with your time on the show? Because I do want to talk about like your music and your career at the end here, but anything else with The Bachelor? I mean, you guys, I was just going to ask you, how beautiful is Nema Colin? Obviously, it's very beautiful. And Western Pennsylvania, a lot of our listeners are, because, you know, Philadelphia is very east, and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia could not be further from each other and just different worlds.
Yeah.
But there are some, like, Nema Colin's beautiful. It's world renowned. JoJo, Maddie, you know this, I'm sure. JoJo filmed her season there. But anything else from your time on the show or the experience in general that you think people would find interesting?
Oh, yes, there's one thing. So we, where we performed was about 10 minutes from the Chateau. And so we had to take a shuttle there and everything. On our way back, the shuttle driver told us that on the property, there's an albino 8-point buck that lives on the property, and that they see it all the time and they say it's good luck, whatever. So I thought that was really interesting. We didn't get to see it, unfortunately.
They also claim that the whole resort is like very haunted. And I thought that the whole time we were there, but I didn't want to look it up until we left because I knew I would scare myself. But that place is definitely haunted.
Wow.
Yeah. And you should have been in the car ride. We were in the shuttle after the performance. We were on cloud 9. It was super late. We were like, just had all this adrenaline. We had great performance. We were super happy. And we were like jumping up and down in that thing. We're like, if we see this buck, that's just going to be like on top of the best night ever, you know? So we were like looking out the window. We were like praying that it would just run past, you know, so we could see it. But it's beautiful. They had all sorts of stuff. We didn't know that it was going to be there until we showed up, but they had like, like a carousel out in the middle of a field, which was super cool. They had like mini golf. They had like
zip lining,
like rock climbing. They had every kind of animal you could put on a farm. They had exotic animals too. They had like lions and tigers. They had like white wolves, like crazy stuff. And I took a jog around, and it was, I mean, it's like an estate. It's not even like, I mean, it's bigger than an estate. It's like a little mini city. I mean, you got a casino there, which we didn't go to, but unfortunately, but they had all sorts of stuff. It was beautiful. And just a bunch of grass. It was amazing.
And not to mention that time of the year there. Oh my gosh. The leaves were just like bright yellow. I have pictures. Yeah. I'll post them, but they're, I mean, so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. No, I was also going to say, like, you're in the fall in that area. Like, even the foliage they're showing on TV, I'm sure is beautiful. Wait, but guys, the wild animals thing. I went on a rant another episode ago. I don't do wild animals. Like, dogs and house animals are fine with me. But, like, when people are like, oh, there's donkeys. Like, the other night on their episode, it was, and just donkeys were coming up to them. Like, they're on a picnic. And I was like, no, I'm so out on the donkey. Like, I don't do wild. Like, people are just like, yeah, like, come on, donkey. Come on our date. I'd be like, no.
There's a plane hanger there too. We asked the producers, because we didn't know. We're like, if people get voted off the show, do they fly them like right out of that? It's like a landing strip for like, you know, mail planes and like older planes. It was kind of like a vintage plane hanger, and you could take them up and stuff. And he did go on a date on one of them. They were flying. But yeah, we were like, do they fly them out of there? And they were like, no, there's like a real airport like down the street. That's where they go.
That's awesome. I love her. We just put them on this jumper plane and ship them out.
Yeah. It's like from the 1920s, you know. It's like a old World War I plane. Yeah. I'm like, fast. It's good stuff.
That's awesome. Well, congrats again on everything The Bachelor. Follow them on Instagram at Temecula Road. You guys do great stuff there. Download everything. Everything I love. Eddie is certifying as a jam. I'm pretty strict on like what, first of all, I've listened to it 100 times, so you can thank me for 100 of those streams on Spotify. But
thank you.
That's how I listen to music. I listen to it 8 million times for like a week, and then I'm like, okay, let's move on to another song. But what's next for you guys? I think like touring, from my understanding, maybe it's starting to ramp up maybe in the summer. Fall, new music, like what's next for you guys?
Absolutely. Hopefully touring. We're all praying that comes back soon. We've been missing that more than anything, just being in front of people, getting to meet people out at shows and travel and get to see new things. So hopefully if that clears up and there are shows, then we'll definitely be trying to jump on them right away. New music's coming for sure. We can't tell you when, but working on new stuff. We've been writing a bunch, which is awesome. And we're really excited about the new stuff we've been working on. Thank you again, too, for everything I love. Man, we appreciate you giving it the stamp of approval.
Yeah, despite Dawson being a Cowboys fan, but we'll let that one go. We found that out.
I know, that was all, for anybody listening, that was all we were talking about before we started recording, so they missed all of it, but we were going round and round about it. But, no, we'll go to a game sometime. That'd be great.
Eagles versus Cowboys.
You guys played at the Grand Ole Opry. Next time we have you on, I'll have to ask you all about that. I got blacked out at the Grand Ole Opry, which I feel like is not a place like to black out at. Like, you know, like who says that? But I had a great time, and I on a serious note, I realized how big of a deal Grand Ole Opry performing is. So congrats to you on that.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I think that's it. Other than you can find us on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything, all at Temecula Road.
And also, right. I love how honest you are, man. I just had to say that before this is over. It's like, I got blacked at the mother church of country music, but it's all good.
Dude, it's a story. I'll tell you one day. I was like, I was like, oh shit, this isn't a place where you get blacked out drunk, and I am that guy. But it was fine.
That's great.
All right, guys, Maddie, Dawson, Emma, we'll talk to you next time.
Awesome.
Thanks
so much for
appreciate it.
Us.
Hi, this is Patty Coon, and you're listening to Rosebuds with Uncle Eddie and Mommy. I love you guys.